This is the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas.
Well, we're glad you guys are here today. We are beginning a brand new series here at Crosspoint called The Whole Story. And this is going to be about how we read and approach the Bible. So let me ask to start off, how many of you have a Bible? That's a pretty good response. Now, how many of you actually brought one today? Not imperative, but I'd just like to know. All right. They say that 92% of American households own at least one Bible. I know Kylie and I own like 14 of them, so. but they also say that in those households, there's an average of about 3 Bibles per household. It's quite a few Bibles. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. Estimates put it somewhere between 800 million and 6.5 billion copies out there that have been sold. And that's a lot of books. You know, we've got Bible studies, we've got devotionals, we've got all sorts of ways to read the Bible. But it's interesting because with all this Bible information out there, there's not a lot of understanding about the Bible. They did a survey and half of American adults couldn't name any of the 4 Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, in case you're curious. So the question is, why don't we read the Bible? I mean, with all these things out there, why don't we read them? Well, I have a couple of theories myself that I'll share with you. I think, first of all, there's some strange stories in the Bible, right? I mean, you're going along and, you know, you've got this chick who talks to a snake, right? You got that story. And then you go further along and you got this guy who builds a big boat and he gets a bunch of animals on it and they go on a cruise, right? You got another guy who's out wandering around in the wilderness and you don't know what's on his mind, but all of a sudden he starts talking to bushes that are on fire. That's a little weird. You got talking donkeys, you got people rising from the dead. So there's a lot of weird stuff, and a lot of it doesn't seem to make sense or really go together. I think also some of the words they use in the Bible are tough to understand. You know, you got names that you wouldn't name your kids, Zerubbabel or Nebuchadnezzar, right? Sorry if your name is Zerubbabel or Nebuchadnezzar. But you also got, like, my favorite is the names of towns, right? So you ever do this, you're in Bible study, right, and somebody says, hey, would you mind reading, you know, this verse? And you're like, sure. So you jump in and you start reading, and they're like, yeah, and they went from, and you can't pronounce the name of the town, right? You're like, they went from this town, and then they went down the road, and they got to another town, right? So they went, you know, you can't really, so you don't know how to pronounce some of these names, and that makes it a little confusing. Again, you got things that just don't seem to fit together, things that, you know, you got the God of the Old Testament who's kind of stern, and you got the God in the New Testament who's kind of like a hippie dude, right? It's hard to know which one is right. I think my favorite reason, though, for not reading the Bible is the begats. Any of you have this issue, the begats? I'll give you a little background. My mom called me a few weeks ago, and she said, hey, I've started to read the Bible. I'm like, oh, that's great. She goes, no, don't get too excited. Like, oh, okay. She said, yeah, and I started reading the Bible. I was like, okay, well, you know, what brought that on? She said, oh, I was bored. Like, okay, fair enough. Oh, you have to understand, my mom's an atheist, so this is kind of cool. I was like, well, you know, tell me what happened. And she said, well, I was in a hotel, and my mom loves to read. And she said, I was in a hotel, and I just finished one book, and I opened the drawer, and there was a Bible there, so I took it. Okay, fair enough. She said, so I started reading it. I said, well, that's great. She goes, yeah, I'll probably stop when I get to the begats. And, you know, of course, the begats are the genealogies. You know, it's so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. And it goes on and on for page after page after page after page. And you're wondering, why do I care about these people, right? And so you got the begats. So, those are some of the reasons, personally, that I've had trouble in the past reading the Bible. But then when it comes to reading the Bible, how do we do it? How do we go about reading and understanding what the Bible is? What is our viewpoint of the Bible? And again, I think there's a couple of pretty good analogies here. How many of you have heard this one? The Bible is the instruction book for life. Have you heard that? Yeah, you know, the idea there is that, of course, you can open the Bible and you can find answers to everyday problems, right? And it's interesting because there's a great song by a group called Burlap to Kashmir called Basic Instructions. And it starts off with this kind of cryptic, cool, moody line that's basic instructions before leaving Earth. And I was like, man, that's kind of cool, you know? And it's kind of that's their way of saying, hey, let's tell you about Jesus, you know, so you can know what to do before you die. And somebody pointed out to me last week that if you take the acronym for basic instructions before leaving Earth, it spells out Bible right there. So it only took me 10 years to figure that one out. But so we look at it as an instruction manual for life. You know, it tells us how to live our lives. Some people look at it as a law book, right? It's these are the structures and these are the confines I need to stay in to live a right life, right? You know, they come to the Bible saying, just tell me what to do. Just tell me how to live my life, and that's what I'm going to do. You know, I think some people look at the Bible as a catalog of blessings and promises, right? How many of you have that little book at home that's like God's promises for every moment, right? I know I've got like 7 of them at home. They've been given to me over the years. And it's, you know, basically the idea is that you can open this book, and let's say you're dealing with depression. You can open the book, and there's all the Bible verses you need to know on how to deal with depression. You know, or let's say you're dealing with... you know, you're trying to figure out who to marry. You open up, and here's all the Bible verses on what to do, how to find the right mate, right? Well, the problem with looking at the Bible just like that is, you know, what do you do when the really hard times come along? I mean, it's easy to kind of go back through and open up and say, oh, this is the one for this. But what happens when those moments come along that there's not the right answer for in the Bible, you know? I think of it a little like a... like an architect, right? You know, an architect doesn't have to go back to his drawing books every time he needs to know how to draw a line, right? He knows how to draw a line because he's lived with that. And they may go back for certain things, but what else? Oh, Bible is a projection, right? Some of us do this. You look at the Bible, and, you know, I've done this, and you go to the Bible to have it kind of verify the way you're living your life, to kind of say, yes, you are right, yes, you are good, you know, or people, you know, they want to make Jesus is a Republican, right? Have you seen that book? Jesus is a Republican. Well, of course, then there's the opposite book. Jesus is a Democrat. So, you know, which one is the real Jesus? Jesus is an independent. I don't know. But, yeah, I think the problem with that is that then if you're going to the Bible and you're looking for it to just tell you that you're doing things the right way, you're never really challenged, right? You're never spurred on to further growth. And if we're not challenged, what's the point in reading the book, you know? Challenge is meant to be, the Bible is meant to be a little challenging. And so, you know, I think with all of these things, though, no matter which of those kind of categories we fall into, don't we kind of pick and choose our way through the Bible, right? You know, you kind of decide, yeah, I believe that about the Bible, or I don't believe that. You know, yeah, I believe I need to follow this law, and this law, but that law, that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not going to do that. And I think that's really an interesting concept, especially if you think about the Bible as like an instruction manual for life, right? Like you wouldn't open your car instruction manual, right? And you wouldn't say, okay, it says to put the oil in the oil reservoir. Yep, I'm going to do that. I believe that. It says to put the, you know, fill up your tires to 32 pounds. You know, I believe that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. It says to put the gas in the gas reservoir. No, I'm not going to do that. I think I'm going to put the gas in the windshield wiper reservoir. Right? You wouldn't do that. You would follow the instructions. But we don't do that, right? We pick and choose our way through it. We kind of decide what we're going to go along with, what we're not going to go along with. And so then I wonder, you know, if the Bible is this great reservoir of information, this great repository of strength to draw from, why do we pick and choose our way through it? You know, and maybe... maybe we've been reading wrong. You know, maybe God wants to do something else through the pages, something bigger through the pages of the Bible than what we've allowed it to do. And maybe in some ways God doesn't want to do some things through the book that we try to get him to do, right? And so that's what this whole series is going to be about. How are we reading the Bible? And what we're going to ask you to do in the midst of this series is to be open to looking at the Bible from a new perspective. And what we're asking you to do is to kind of look at the Bible as narrative, you know, a story. It's an ongoing story. And, you know, probably the And like any story, it's not going to have every detail of every little bitty thing that, you know, for life. It's like if I ask you, tell me your story, right? And you might say, well, you know, I was born in Georgia, and I went to school in Alabama, and I met a girl in Colorado, and we moved to Virginia, and then we got down here to Texas, and, you know, I trained to be an architect, and now I'm a chef.
Nope.
What? Those don't seem to go together. You know, they don't seem to mesh unless you understand the full story of your life, unless, of course, we can track every, you know, track our way through your life and see that progression. And I think the important thing to remember is, you know, the Bible is really a bunch of little stories that are held together by the whole story, by the overarching story, what's been termed as the meta-narrative. And the only way to make sense of the passages that we don't understand or that make us uncomfortable is to set each one in the context of the whole story. I think a really good example of how this works together is the book of Revelation. You know, for those of you who know, the book of Revelation is all about the end times. And John, who wrote the book of Revelation, you know, it's filled with a lot of symbolism and a lot of things we don't quite understand. Well, they say that there's about 500 allusions to the Old Testament in the book of Revelation. But none of those allusions are like a direct quote. It never says, you know, Isaiah says this or the Psalm said that. It's always John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, he assumed that the readers of it would have all that background information. They would have read all that stuff beforehand, before coming into this book of Revelation, and they would know, they would understand some of the symbolism, some of the allegories, some of the allusions he was laying out for them, right? And so if we don't know the Bible, and that includes the Old Testament, and we don't understand how each book fits into the whole story, I think one of the really cool things about looking at the Bible as narrative is that the story is continuing. It's ongoing. We call the Bible the living word, and it really is. The last two chapters of the Bible, which are in Revelation, again, they talk about the end times. They talk about the end of days. Now, as far as I can tell, we're not there yet, right? I mean, we're here, and the church is doing stuff, and we're talking, and things are going on right now. So if you look at it in that respect, you've got, you know, the time that lapses between, you know, you've got the Old Testament that leads up to about 400 years of silence, and then you got the New Testament, and then you got this book of Revelation. And so somewhere between the New Testament and the book of Revelation and that whole section is us. We are in the midst of the Bible. It's going on as we're reading it. And so, you know, if you were trying to answer that question, what is my meaning in life? Well, figure out what your meaning, you know, figure out the purpose of the whole story, and then you're going to find your place in it. You're going to find where you fit in. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, a lot of times, again, we look at the Bible and we see these little bitty stories in isolation. And it's like, well, this doesn't seem to jive with that. You know, he says something here and this guy says something there. And then, you know, but if you look at, if you take a step back for just a moment, get a perspectival look, an overview, and recognize that where those pieces fit in, the context that those two elements fit in the whole story, it does seem to make a lot more sense. And so that's what we're going to ask you to do while we go through this series, to really just kind of focus on trying to understand the Bible as narrative. And so if it is a narrative, well, what's the story that's being told through this narrative? I think for a long time, I was kind of raised with the understanding that the Bible, the story of the Bible, the story of Jesus, was kind of a two-part story, right? It was kind of man sinned, God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins and to pay our penalties. That was kind of the story that was told. And that's part of it. But just like if you look at the graphic that we're using for this series, and you'll see the tree there, and you'll see the frame that's kind of in on that trunk part of the tree, right? You see the trunk, you see a little bit of the leaves at the bottom. But the frame cuts you off from seeing the rest of it. And so we're calling this the whole story, reframing the great restoration narrative. Because what we want you to do is to take a step back and see that maybe the story that you've been told and that you've heard isn't wrong, but it's just not as big and as glorious as the real story that God's trying to tell, the whole story. And so if you take a step back, if you open up your frame, if you reframe your viewpoint, you're going to see the beautiful leaves and the fruit and the flowering that's going to come off the tree at the top. you know, if you take a step back and you're going to see the roots that dig deep in and keep the tree strong, right? And so what we're asking you to do is take a step back and let's instead of looking at it as a two-part story, maybe it's a four-part story. Instead of just fall and redemption, perhaps we look at it as creation, fall, redemption, and then restoration. Well, so if we're looking at it as restoration, what's being restored? I think, you know, in the beginning, God created man, right? Created him in his image. And so often, I think that we've kind of turned that on ourselves, right? You know, we talked about original sin and how man is evil and bad. And, you know, as we look about the world, we talk about, you know, oh, you know, when you see people at war, when you see people not being kind to one another, well, that's human nature. That's just the way we're built. That's the way we're wired. Is it, though? Is that the way we're wired? Maybe what we're seeing in the world right now isn't true humanity. Maybe what we're seeing in the world is less than human. And so what's being restored is us. Perhaps we're being restored to being fully human. And so I think as you look at the whole story, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see God restoring his creation to the way he originally intended it. And you're going to see that when Jesus comes down, yeah, he pays the penalty for our sins. Yeah, he does all these great things. But he also shows us what it means to be fully human in a way that we haven't experienced since creation, since being in the garden. And when you look at it that way, again, it goes back to the story. When you see that you are made for so much more, that your meaning can be understood only in the framework of the whole story. You know, this whole series came about. Pastor Dave's been working on it for a while. He actually says it's the most important series he's preached in his 15 years of preaching. And the staff and Steve Garrett got the chance to head out to Anthem, Arizona back in May to meet with a group of other churches who are all doing this story as well across the country, sharing ideas, sharing resources. And it was an amazing experience. And we got the chance to experience in about 2 hours what you guys are going to get the chance to take 8 weeks to go through and really delve into and dive into and really truly understand. And I'm really honored that I get the chance to kind of kick this thing off and to kind of start off. And this next piece, which I really hope I can explain well, was my favorite piece from that time in Arizona. You'll notice we're using imagery of trees, right? And as we go through the series, you know, in fact, this week's message is called Tree, because we're kind of setting up the whole story. And you're going to see throughout the weeks we're going to have different icons that are going to be representative of different areas of the life of a tree. The reason for that is trees play an integral part in the story of the Bible. What you're going to notice is there's a tree right there at the beginning. We're going to bring the passage up on the screen here, but it's Genesis 2:9. And if you look at it, it says, "And the Lord God planted all sorts of trees in the garden, beautiful trees that produce delicious fruit. At the center of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Now notice that there's two trees right there, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of the knowledge of good and evil. And I have to be honest, I've heard a really great translation of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is might be better translated the tree of the knowledge of good and not good. And as you're going to see, what happens to man is that they choose that tree, right? They choose, they man was created by God to be a co-creator in this world, that we were given a purpose. And you know, in the beginning, you see man doing stuff. In fact, let's just go into Genesis 2:15-17. You'll see the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and care for it. But the Lord God gave him this warning: "You may freely eat any fruit in the garden, except fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of its fruit, you will surely die." So God placed man to tend the garden, to be a part of God's creation. And the only thing he asked man to do was to not eat from this tree. And basically what he was saying is, I don't want you to determine what's right and what's wrong. If you remember from our Awaken series, when we talked about DOS, the differential operating system, you know, and that that's our desire, that's our need to separate right from wrong, good from evil, right? And that's not our place. It's God's place to determine what those things are. And so in the beginning, you see these two trees. And of course, we choose, rather than choosing the tree of life, right? We choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, we have the whole rest of the Bible, which deals with the consequences of that action. But here's the really cool thing that I love. If you look, turn to me, Revelation 22:1-2, right at the end of the Bible, says, "And the angel showed me a pure river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, coursing down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations." See, there's that tree again, the tree of life, seen right there at the end, bearing 12 crops of fruit. Now, we don't know what that means. I love it. Ted Baird, who preached this message out in Anthem, his thing on it was, 12 crops of fruit. Now, I wonder if that's like you can choose the types of fruit. You know, wouldn't you love to have a tree like that in your backyard? And he's like, yeah, I'd choose like a guacamole tree. Not an avocado tree, but like guacamole. I'd choose limes because I love limes. Maybe a hamburger, and just pull a hamburger off the tree. Anyways, that's just an interesting side note. But so anyways, you see that the story of the Bible is bookended with a tree. And of course, if you follow the path through, you're going to see kind of right there in the center, there's another tree, right? There's the tree that when Jesus comes down and he was crucified, because the crosses were made out of wood, which comes from trees, and right there in the center. And that changes the trajectory of everything. So what does all this mean? Well, how are we going to get the most out of our time together over the next 8 weeks? Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, like I said, hold off on judgment. Be open to this new perspective. That's what we're asking you to do. The greatest obstacle to our growth is the assumption that we already know. And, if you already know all this stuff, you might as well not be here, right? I mean, you're not going to learn anything new. You're going to kind of come away with this, what you came into it with. So be open. Be willing to kind of investigate this from a new direction. Hold off your questions. I know you're going to have questions. It's going to happen, and we love that. We love that you're going to have questions. But quite honestly, we've got a lot of stuff to cover over the next 8 weeks. The messages are going to be a little longer than we might be used to. And we got to get through a lot of it. And so having to answer questions will kind of impede a little of that. What we suggest is that you write down those questions, and be prepared with them at the end. What we're hoping is that one of a couple things will happen. Either, we'll get to the end of this and your question will be answered, which is highly possible. Or we'll get to the end of this and your question, you'll look at it and you go, really, that's not as important as I once thought it was. I don't really need to know that answer because it really doesn't make much of a difference in my life. Or maybe you'll still have that question and you'll come to us and we'll try to find you an answer if we don't have one for you. So, just kind of hold off. The other thing you can do is engage each Sunday. I know it's going to be, times are going to be busy. We're going to hit Thanksgiving right at the end of this. I know that's going to be tough for some of you. I know, you got work-related things, you're sick, we got the swine flu going around. But try to be here each Sunday. We're going to put the messages up online. Yeah, you can listen to them and you can download them and do it that way. But there's going to be things that are going to be in the gathering leading up to it that you're going to miss out on. It's like the little thing we did earlier with the famous lines, from books. And of course, that was all set up to that. We don't necessarily know everything about books by single lines. So, be here each Sunday. Be engaged each Sunday. Be ready to engage. Use the text project. Online, we've got, Dave has created a 40-page PDF that if you want to dive deep into this thing, and I mean deep, check out the text project. It's online. It's under the resources tab at the website, crosspoint.com. You can download it, and you can dive really deep into some of this stuff. A lot more information than we're going to be able to cover in these next 8 weeks. We've got computer and phone wallpapers that you can use to kind of remind yourself of what we're talking about. Also over here, you see these lovely ladies who are painting this beautiful painting. And let me take a moment just to talk about this. Because what you're going to see over the next 8 weeks is these ladies are going to paint the story that we're talking. They're going to paint the whole story out. And this obviously is the first week. You can see the tree right there in the center. And off of it is going to come all the different elements. And you're going to see it grow each week. And so we want you to watch that and be a part of it and notice the changes and notice how it all fits together. And if you're not here, you won't get that. Also, your book. We spent a long time talking about these books, about what we want to do. The staff did. We talked about what we're going to do. This. We wanted to give you resources that you can walk away from this experience, and you can be able to not only know the whole story for yourself, but you can tell others the whole story. And so that's kind of the point behind these books. Each week, there's pages for you to write notes on. You can see key verses in there. At the back, there's a little section called The Whole Story Short. If you want to know the quick rundown of what the Bible is all about, that's it right there. Whole Story Short right at the back. And I'll be honest, we're happy for you guys to have these. We want you to have these. We're not asking you or telling you to give us anything for these. What I will say, though, is that these are not cheap. If you get one, hang on to it. Bring it each week. Don't forget it. Don't leave it at home. You're not getting a second one. They're about $6 a piece. And in the economy right now, you know, it's really tough. You know, and maybe some of you will be led to generously give to the cause of these books. You know, for your book or maybe a couple of books, whatever. But that's the point. These books, we decided we wanted to do these right for you guys. So that's why we decided to make the expenditure and put the time and energy into it. So use your books week after week. Pay attention to the story. You know, again, don't get so involved in the unimportant or unanswerable questions that you get sidetracked from seeing the whole story. You know, again, some of these stories in little bite-sized chunks don't seem to make much sense until you step back and look at the whole story. So open yourself up to the whole story. And finally, look for your story in the whole story. You know, look for where you fit in this great story that God is telling of restoration. All right? Well, that's it. Let me pray. Father God, I just thank you for this time here today. I thank you for everyone who's here. I thank you, Lord, for the great treasure of our painters who are doing such a beautiful job. I thank you for the story that you're telling through the Bible and through us, and that we get the chance to be agents of restoration in this world that you've sent us to. Pray, Lord, over the next 8 weeks, we will come to better understand you and better understand your whole story. Thank you, and we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas. For more information about our church, visit www.crosspoint.com.